I call the Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting to order at 10:35 a.m. on Saturday, February 10th. Joining me, we have Representative Lincoln, Representative Drummond, Representative Sadler, Representative Rauscher, Representative Tallarico, and I expect we'll be rejoined shortly by Representative Christ Tompkins. We have a quorum to conduct business. If committee members would please silence their electronic devices. We have one item on today's calendar, House Bill 264, Shopping Bag Fees and Recycling. This is the first hearing on the bill. We will hear public testimony on the bill today and defer action until a later date. Representative Josephson and Lisa Delaney, welcome. Would you please identify yourselves for the record and begin your presentation?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tallarico.
Mr. Chair, I just want to verify this. I was between meetings. I was contacted by a constituent who has questioned whether or not we had the appropriate public notice according to our uniform rules for this particular hearing today, and I think it's just fair to let you know so that you can verify that if that's appropriate or not.
Certainly, Representative Tallarico.
I haven't kept track or run it down, so
I'll take a brief at ease to confirm.
Okay, just so that's clear.
The bill was originally noticed 2 weeks ago, for the record, and
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
To clarify that, I think that's important.
Certainly, to encourage more public testimony, like your constituent, it's my intention to hold public testimony open until our meeting this coming Tuesday.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Of course, Representative Tallarico. Would the bill's sponsor, please, and staff, please state your names and affiliations for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Andy Josephson. I'm a member of the State House, and I represent District 17.
And I'm Lisa Delaney. I'm staff to Representative Josephson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make just a few minutes of comments about the bill. The idea behind the bill first and foremost that we have a significant plastics problem in the world. Several years ago, I addressed this problem with a bill that would ban microbeads. These are particles that are in exfoliants, toothpaste, and other products that cannot be collectible by a wastewater treatment plant and seep into the waters of all sorts of waters. That subject was a subject of great interest around our sister states. Congress actually took it up and put a ban of sorts on microbeads. I can't necessarily tell you about the sort of effectiveness of that ban and how far-reaching it is, but my interest and concern with plastics continues, and it's something I've seen on our beaches when I'm kayaking. There are in our oceans something called the five gyres. There are these massive places in the ocean where plastic collects. We know that plastic also makes its way up to the Arctic, for example. And so this idea found its genesis out of that concern. There are a number of states, and Elisa, my staff, will tell you about those in a PowerPoint, that have taken on the issue of plastic bags. And I'm happy to report that there are no fewer than five communities, all of them rural, starting with Hooper Bay on the West Coast, a village of about 1,100, and most recently, just a couple weeks ago, Kodiak, not a village, but Kodiak has essentially banned plastic bags. There's little doubt that at first blush, the absence of plastic bags in our lives would require some adjustment, I think that we would make that adjustment. And I'll let you know that a powerful member of the other body has indicated to me an interest in banning plastic bags. So I think there is some bipartisan interest in this. Then also in January, we saw that the city of Wasilla has banned plastic bags, and Wasilla in particular has been concerned. Meanwhile, the borough, the Mat-Su borough, had calendared and considered a ban of plastic bags, but it tabled that, essentially, arguing that Wasilla's ban covered most of the problem. The city of Palmer, we have learned, has also expressed interest in the subject of banning plastic bags. Just outside my window by the courtyard where the courthouse is, there is a plastic bag that's been in a tree there since at least November, staring at us. And yes, this is, you know, there'd be some degree of inconvenience, but we think that it's important to move the world forward and to try to take on these issues. So that's my opening remark. And at this point, if there are no questions for me, I'd be happy to turn it over to Ms. Delaney.
Thank you. We'll take questions from the committee members for the bill's sponsor. Although I see that we have so far seven people online to testify, so if we could be brisk, we'll have access to him for quite some time to come. I see questions from Representatives Sadler and Rauscher.
Thank you. Through the chair, I would just note generally that we don't care what the other body thinks, but we should not let it influence what we do here in the People's House. But before we get into the discussion of the bill, could you, as a sponsor, please define plastic bags? I've heard somebody in my office describe them as T-shirt bags, so I'm not quite sure. There's grocery stores, there's the bags one ordinarily gets at checkout with two handles. There's the plastic bags in the produce department that come on a big reel and have no handles. So if, just for discussion purposes, we can identify our terms, I would appreciate that.
Sure. I'm going to defer that. I think I know the answer. I'm going to defer that question to Ms. Delaney.
With your permission, that question is covered in the presentation, I believe. Is that correct, Ms. Delaney?
More or less.
Delaney, pardon me. If you'd like to elaborate at this time, you're certainly welcome to.
Okay. Through the chair, Representative Sadler. We defined it. There are lots of different definitions, as you noticed.
You pull your mic for us.
We defined it as bags that are 2.25 mils and have handles. And there are, it's outlined in the bill where what applies and what doesn't. So things like bulk bags, produce bags, those are not included in this.
They're not included, the clear. Okay.
Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, through the chair, thank you. I just want to do, I believe the Mat-Su borough wasn't banning, they were taxing when they tabled that. I may be wrong here, but I believe that's the correct term of what they were trying to do. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
Representative Josephson?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, the only thing I can confirm, because I'm really confident of, you could absolutely be right, but in Wasilla, it is an outright ban.
It is a ban, yes, in Wasilla, yes. Right, and Glen Allen. But I think the Mat-Su borough was, through the chair, I'm sorry, they were trying to tax it when they tabled it. I just wanted to clarify that, that's all.
And if I may,
Representative Josephson.
This is sort of the opposite direction of Q&A, but if I may, through the chair. Yes, it's an A and Q, I guess. Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, did you just say that Glen Allen has banned plastic bags?
Through the chair, yes, I believe they went that route.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't quote me, but I think they did.
Okay. Thank you. Unless there are any further questions for the bill's sponsor, we'll turn it over to Ms. Delaney. And we'll, if members would please hold their questions until the end of the presentation, that would help it flow. Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Delaney.
For the record, my name is Lisa Delaney, staff to Representative Andy Josephson. So our motivations behind this are that plastic does not belong in nature. It's been shown to be detrimental to health, environment, and wildlife. Wildlife being particularly important to Alaskans who rely on hunting and fishing, often for a reliable food source. It's also unsightly for residents and for visitors, and tourism is a big deal in Alaska. We're also working currently on building that up. And just in general, we're trying to encourage people to be mindful of their behavior and its effects on their community, environment, health, and economy. So why plastic bags? They are one of the major plastic offenders, and they're kind of an easy target. We way overuse grocery bags. They're just readily accessible. They're flimsy. You often need to use multiple. Anything with corners, you need two or three bags. They're also very easily windblown, so they disperse a lot more than other plastics, even the thicker bags. They're also really easy to substitute. It's very, very easy to find thick bags, to find cloth bags, and these other bags are a lot sturdier. So, for example, coming to work today, I had my binder in my cloth bag, which I carry everywhere with me. I've had it for about 4 years. It's still going strong. Had I had a plastic bag today, it wouldn't have managed this binder. It would have been torn to shreds as I put it in. So for a quick perspective break, plastic doesn't degrade in the environment. It just breaks into smaller and smaller pieces. These pieces attract pollutants. There are significant scientific studies that show that contaminants just stick to these little itty-bitty plastic pieces that are then consumed by things like plankton, which just work their way up the food chain. The larger animals consume more and more of the little animals, so it's kind of an exponential process. And a lot of these toxins are fat-soluble, which accumulate in animal tissues, and we are technically the top predator for a lot of these things. And the one that comes to mind is salmon. I used PCBs on this slide as an example because they are a problem in the marine environment. And one of the most common exposure pathways is through eating fish. So for a salmon state, that's kind of a scary outcome. One BC study found that returning adult salmon were ingesting up to 91 microplastic particles per day. So that ends up on your plate. It's also estimated that globally, about 100,000 whales, seals, and turtles die annually from plastic. And again, the Alaskan communities tend to rely on whale and seal as a subsistence food. So why not an outright ban? Admittedly, this was a really tough call for us. Bans tend to be more common, at least nationally, and they do get right to the point. Our rationale was mostly that we wanted to give people the choice. So you could pay for a bag, or you could just get a reusable bag and not deal with the repeated expense. We thought the adjustment period would help people transition to alternatives. Admittedly, revenue is also a bit of an issue, so that came into effect here. And we found that in our research, a fee is still effective in reducing plastic waste. So Chicago, D.C., and also L.A. found that even after modest fees of 5 to 10 cents, there were reductions between 42% and 94%. There are also lots of other variations on legislation. These are a few of the more common ones across the U.S., but they all have their strengths and weaknesses, and The legislation kind of needs to be tailored for the needs of the region. So option two in this list seems to be the most popular, and that's a banning of thin plastic bags and then implementing a fee for paper and other reusable bags, including the thicker plastic bags. And I think Hawaii is a pretty relatable example. They have these ordinances across the state, so they have a de facto state ban. Also, we can note that stores subsidize their costs by charging more for goods purchased. So the free bags aren't actually free. It's estimated that they cost each individual between $25 and $50 a year. So there is global movement to ban plastics, specifically plastic bags, again, because they're one of the easier plastics to control. It's estimated that each plastic bag has a lifespan of about 12 minutes, whereas, as I've already said, my cloth plastic bag has lasted me 4 years, and I use it every day. That's a pretty big difference, considering the marginal cost of buying a sturdy cloth bag. You'll notice Kenya has a very, very strict ban. That's mostly for importers, not just your day-to-day shoppers. So in the U.S., we have 13 cities and 7 states with a fee, and we have 110 cities in 18 states with a ban. And that ban typically includes a fee for paper and other reusable bags. So here's a summary of the states and the boroughs or cities that have legislation right now. And in Alaska, we have Bethel, Cordova, Hooper Bay, Kodiak, and Wasilla. Bethel and Hooper Bay started this in 2010. Cordova was 2016. Kodiak and Wasilla is 2018. And Palmer has been talking about it, and I think I've overheard something about maybe an initiative in Juneau, but I don't have specifics on that just yet. So here's a quick breakdown of our bill. So we're adding Article 5 into the Revenue and Taxation and Miscellaneous Provisions section. We are establishing a 20-cent fee for single-use carry-out plastic bags, and this does list various exceptions for things like bulk food bags, ice bags, newspaper bags, that sort of thing. We work around any municipal regulations because we don't want to compound fees for people. So if a municipality wants to implement their own rules, we'll just work around it. We won't do in addition to. We also provide instructions for the retail seller, so they must display fees on the receipt. They may not reimburse the fee, which is just a workaround for the rule. We also explain penalties for violation, and the Department of Revenue deals with the violations in this category. Also, I should note the state gets 75% of the fees, whereas 25% go back to the retailer just to help them deal with the associated costs for this program. This section also defines some of the key terms used. Section 2, this is more of a DEC section. It establishes a recycling requirement. Retailers must accept plastic bags for the purpose of recycling. And I've noticed a lot of the major retailers already do this. It also stipulates that plastic bags must show the recycling symbol. Again, this is pretty standard these days. I don't remember the last time I've seen a bag that doesn't have this on it. This section also requires that reusable bags must be made available and visible where the checkout is located. It also outlines fees for violation of the recycling program, and here DEC deals with these violations. And then again, it refers to the terms defined in the previous section. And Section 3 provides an effective date of January 1st, 2019. I'd also like to note that the fiscal note is $3.3 million to the state. They also indicated in the fiscal note that it could be up to $6.5 million, assuming it doesn't deter people from buying bags. But they assumed there would be some deterrent and brought that back down to $3.3 million. That is the bill in a nutshell.
Excellent. I see we have questions from Representative Price Tompkins, Representative Rauscher, Representative Lincoln, Representative Drummond, Representative Sadler. Representative Price Tompkins.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions. First question, did you, the sponsor and sponsor staff, consider including paper bags within the scope of these fees or taxes? Reusable paper bags.
I think I'll defer to Ms. Delaney on that.
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. We did. Yes, the short answer is we did. We thought this would be a good first step to follow, for example, Hawaii's model and to charge for paper but still have them available if needed.
Representative Rusher.
Follow
up, Representative Chris.
Just 1 second. My other primary question is, of the pollution out there in Alaska, is there some kind of analysis that helps you identify plastic bags as a substantial contributor to plastics pollution as opposed to, say, lids to coffee cups, plastic lids to coffee cups, styrofoam cups, other kinds of common day-to-day pollution, and what leads to plastic bags being singled out, and what kind of data leads to plastic bags being singled out as opposed to these other kinds of day-to-day plastic or styrofoam pollutants?
Ms. Delaney.
Okay, through the chair. Plastic bags, like I said, are very easy to replace and mitigate compared to, say, a coffee lid. There aren't many substitutes for a coffee lid, for example, and we have looked into it, and it's a problem with animals consuming the bags. They just get knotted up in the intestinal tract, and that tends to starve and slowly kill the animal. And there's a farm in Matsu that's actually done studies on this, and they have, they're called fistulas. They have holes in some of the ruminants, and they can dig into their stomach, like literally open the animal and reach in. And they have found plastic bags tangled in caribou stomachs.
Follow up, Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you. For coffee lids, for instance, the tumbler that you have in front of you would be an adequate replacement. Sort of analogous to a reusable cloth bag, that means sort of for a beverage container. So, I guess I'm curious. I mean, is there data that shows that reusable plastic bags or plastic bags rather are sort of out there more than say reusable coffee container coffee lid components in the environment? Because of course styrofoam, as it accumulates in the environment or in marine organisms, intestinal tract can also kill creatures. So, again, I'm trying to get at why this type of day-to-day pollutant and not another type, which is commonly found, and is there data that suggests that this is a greater harm?
Ms. Delaney, you're welcome to answer now and certainly to get back with us with additional information as it becomes available.
Right, through the chair. I don't have the statistics right now. I would have to look those up for you.
You can
just one final
follow-up.
Are you aware of statistics? Have you reviewed them previously that show this is a greater harm?
Ms. Delaney.
No, I'm not aware.
Ms. Delaney, if you're able to find any such, I'm sure I'd be happy to distribute them to the members of the committee. Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Chairman Parrish. Through the chair, I was just there was a couple numbers that you threw out. It was like 3.3 million to the state or whatever. Could you repeat what those were? I was trying to write and didn't quite get them all, and I was trying to figure out was that money that was coming into the state due to fines and penalties, or money that we would make profit, or that the cost to the state was. I wasn't sure what those numbers were.
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. So in the fiscal note, it would bring in, they estimate, around $3.3 million, and that goes to the state. The cost of the program is about $222,000.
Okay, thank you. And to the chair.
Representative Rusher.
Now, we talked about the thickness of the bag. It was like X amount of microns, if I remember right, or was that, or mils or microns, whatever it was. Do you remember that number?
Ms. Delaney?
Through the chair, it's 2.25 mils.
Through the chair, 2.25 mils. Okay, now, that constituted a bag, but now when it goes into the ocean, it's going to disintegrate in the ocean, even though it's biodegradable because it's degrading. So is it still a is it still harmful to the ocean?
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. Yes, it becomes more and more harmful because the smaller pieces are what the animals begin consuming.
And through the chair. So it biodegrades in the ground, okay, but not specifically in the ocean. Is that what you're going with?
Representative Josephson.
But I just I wanted to signal, I have a comment to make after Ms. Delaney addresses Mr. Rauschers.
Certainly. Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. Bags don't biodegrade particularly well in Alaska. It's too cold, and they need a very specific type of environment. So even in a warmer climate, in a landfill, a biodegradable bag is not going to biodegrade.
Representative Rauscher?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Josephson had a comment he wanted to make.
Well, yes, just relative to, through the chair, to Representative Christ-Tompkins' comment about relativity in terms of, you know, why not other plastics. I think that the half dozen or so communities that are, you know, very far apart, a lot of variety, very diverse communities, I think we can sort of take notice from that, that there's a willingness in these disparate Alaskans to deal with plastic bags, that there's something about them that they find particularly offensive. We'll try to find the data you're asking for, but there's something going on there. I mean, if in the court, we might call this judicial notice. The court might say, this is different, and the public has taken note. I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you. Representative Rauscher, back to you.
And follow-up, thank you very much, Chairman Parrish. Through the chair, Ms. Delaney, I was wondering, do you have hardened numbers, data from the areas that are actually have a ban going on? I know I'm sure there's less. They say there's less bags in the trees or whatever. Do we have any hardened data as to the volume or the how well it's working? Is it documented or is it just hearsay?
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair, there are statistics on this. I've mentioned a couple of them in the presentation. I don't have any Alaska-specific numbers, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure of any studies within Alaska itself pertaining to the ban.
Okay, and
Representative Rauscher?
Through the chair, I'm trying to wrap my head around reusable bags, okay? Now, I have used reusable bags, and you're in the grocery store, and you're going to buy meat, and you pick up your chunk of meat there wrapped in a little piece of cellophane around on a styrofoam little tray, and you throw it in your bag, and then you get to the counter, and it gets tossed out onto the belt, and then you throw it out into the gutter where they pre-sort, and then it goes back in your bag, and you throw it in your car, and then the juice just kind of filters its way through all that plastic into this reusable bag, okay? And then combine when you're in the fruit department, you know, and you pick out your fruit, you pull a little baggie down there and you stuff it all in there and you throw it in your reusable bag. And then, you know, while you're shopping, that gets kind of tossed around and it goes on the belt. It kind of rolls down there with your fruit, and it slides across the scanner, a little more rolling going on, and then they place it in the gutter for the pre-sort, and then back in your bag, and then you put it in the back of your car where it gets slammed in your Jeep up against the spare tire, and your kiwis are now oozing this juice because they came out of the little plastic deal that you pulled down. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around the reusable bag thing. It's just... Is there other people who have more success with that than me? I'm having a heartache with that thought.
Mr. Chair, I'm ready to read Representative Rauscher's screenplay.
I was going to make a comment along similar lines. It's a very colorful little picture you paint, Representative Rauscher. Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. So the little bags that go over the meat packages are exempt from this, so you can still do that, as are the produce bags. And further, you can bleach and wash a cloth bag, which I've done repeatedly, if that does happen, where all of the bags you've used have torn and chaos has ensued.
Thank you very much. I was just expressing my pleasure with using the reusable bags.
Are any further questions for Representative Rauscher?
Thank you very much. I appreciate your
all right. Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions, and I didn't notice Galena and Emonik on the list of cities that currently ban plastic bags, but they're in the packet that having banned them in 2003. Did they revert that ban, or are they?
Galena in which town?
I think it's Emonik.
Oh.
It's in the packet of materials that was provided.
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. I'll have to look on that. I'm not entirely sure. They may have. There were a few communities that have rescinded bans. I will
double-check. Follow-up,
Representative Lincoln, please. Do you have any kind of insight into why they went back on the bans, like what their experience was or what led to that?
Ms. Delaney?
Through the chair. It varies per community. For example, Homer rescinded it as well. And it seems like the community just felt not included in the process from the sounds of it. And they had their own movement before the ban, towards reducing the use of plastics. But I think it's different for every community. If you have specific communities in mind, I can look into it.
I have other questions.
Feel free, Representative Lincoln.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I don't know if you answered this with Representative Rauscher, but the idea of the biodegradable plastics as an alternative, are they, problem? Does it solve the problem of getting into the ocean food chain, but not, blowing around on land, or what are the downsides to going with biodegradable plastic?
Ms. Delaney?
Through the chair. In Alaska, they tend not to biodegrade. We don't have the right climate and conditions for that. So it's six of one, half a dozen of another, whether you use plastic or theoretically a biodegradable bag.
That includes the impact to the ocean food chain and getting into fish and sea mammals?
I believe so, yes.
Representative Lincoln?
Another question. So where were the caribou discovered that had plastic bags in their stomachs?
Through the chair, those are in the Mat-Su. I believe there were two or three on one specific farm.
Representative Lincoln? Mr.
Chairman, in the 20-cent per bag figure, you said the 5 to 10-cent range would prove somewhat effective in other cities. What was the rationale for landing on 20 cents?
Through the chair. 20 cents was the upper limit of the common legislation. So we just started with that. Cost of living is generally a lot higher in Alaska. I believe we're open to negotiating that.
Okay. Follow-up. I would think with cost of living considerations, that might be a reason to maybe not have and be on the extreme high end of a tax like this. But I also had a question. So one aspect of the bill that I do like is that municipalities or local communities can kind of opt in and generate the tax revenue so it won't go to the state. But what consideration, if any, did you give to unincorporated communities or communities that only have tribal governments and not city governments?
Mr. Lenny?
Through the chair, I believe any local government could implement as they please. I'm not sure of the rules associated with.
Well, if I may.
Representative Josephson.
The bill does speak to essentially an exemption where there's less than $100,000 gross sales. So presumably in particularly small communities, they would not be subject to the bill. Do I have that right, Ms. Delaney?
Can you address that? I mean, get that information and, I don't want to base a decision on an assumption like that because these small villages might not seem like that's a lot of That might seem like a lot of money, but if you have one store in a village, they're moving a lot of product, and $100,000 isn't it's not that high of a figure.
No, through the chair, I agree with that. And I do want to say, and this is why there's a slide on other solutions. My office would like to see, even though it requires, it requires a cultural adjustment to achieve a result. We don't think it's a substantial cultural adjustment, but I think people would get there. And you see in the slides that, for example, in the city of Cordova sort of adopted this as a policy, and they had a GoFundMe account where the community has, contributed to cloth bags, and people exchange cloth bags, and it's this whole sort of community effort. But my office is absolutely not wedded to the idea of a fee. This was designed to sort of help achieve a result. But if the committee was interested in really doing a deep dive on the bill and wanted a committee substitute that created a ban, and that ban could be, in fact, I need to call Edge Legal and see how far out could it be. Let's say it didn't go into effect for 2 years. You wouldn't get any grousing from me about that.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind. And I think the cultural and financial adjustment varies widely across the state. I mean, I triple and quadruple bag jars of seal oil with, AC bags to make sure we don't make a mess and things like that. And it might not be recycled and reused in ways that are familiar to other places in Alaska, but we use these plastic bags a lot in rural Alaska for a variety of purposes. Mm-hmm. And related to that, the question on, Kotzebue at least is that there's been a really enthusiastic effort to participate in recycling with cans and things like that, but just the logistic cost of life in rural Alaska is makes that a lot more challenging than urban settings. So, things like the requirement to have recycling be available there, that the costs associated with that in Kotzebue are they're not even in the same, mm-hmm. Ballpark as Anchorage or a place on the road system.
Understood. Yeah.
Any further questions?
Not.
Thank you, Representative Lincoln. And Representative Chris Tompkins is here back on the list. Go through Representative Drummond and then Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chair, I believe I was up after Mr. Representative Lincoln, but I'm not sure.
Oh, the way I've got it noted was JKT, Rauscher, Lincoln, Drummond, Sadler, JKT for a second round. Mm-hmm. So Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your slide, which is not numbered, why not an outright ban, where it discusses the fees, would these work like sales taxes on the receipts from the store? And where there is not already a sales tax in place, how does this fee work? For example, in our two of our largest communities, Anchorage and Fairbanks, do not charge sales taxes. And I know there are quite a few others that don't charge sales taxes. So how would this work? And keeping in mind that when I bring reusable bags to certain retailers, I get a discount that's reflected on my receipt of a nickel or so when I use my reusable bags, which is almost all the time. They take up space in the back of my car, but I don't have to accumulate plastic grocery bags.
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair. So it should show on the receipt as another item purchased. That's how we see this going.
And so this works for the Department of Revenue in terms of being collectible by the Department of Revenue.
Mr. Chair, yes, it does.
And also, okay, I have several questions. May I continue?
You may.
Okay. So it would show as a purchase.
While I've got a moment, I'll announce that Ms. Naumann from Ledge Legal is on the line and available for any questions. Representative Drummond.
On the list of communities in Alaska that have already banned bags, you have individual communities, individual cities, but you also list Kodiak. Does that refer to the entire Kodiak Island borough or just the city of Kodiak?
Through the chair? I'm actually not sure. I'll have to look at that.
Okay. I would welcome that. And as Representative Lincoln asked, if Galena and Emanik have banned and are continuing to ban or have repealed the ban. And I think that's it for now. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. And Ms. Delaney, if you would please find out why those communities are no longer on the list and get that information to us. We'll see that it's distributed amongst the membership. We have Representative Sadler, Christ Tompkins, Tallarico, and then Rauscher. Rep. Sadler.
Thank you. Several questions, Mr. Chairman. First, is this an effort to use tax policy to modify behavior, or is there a linkage between the costs you're claiming for the environment for plastic bags versus the and the human peace of mind? So I'm just trying to see, is this actually a revenue generating measure to address an issue, or is it a behavior modification effort?
I'll take that.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, the reason why my office, I say my office because my staff is someone who's been invested in this too, would be open, very open, to an amendment that would ban bags at X date, just as Wasilla has, is because that's really the desired result. This is not really designed to raise revenue. It's just one of the options that those involved in this effort nationally have looked at. So in response to sort of, the social aspect of it, yes. I mean, that's the idea. And of course, tax legislation or fee legislation has that impact. I think of last month's reduction of the corporate income tax. That was designed to bring companies home to do business and open their factories in America. So I think all revenue-generating, not all, but often revenue-generating legislation has that sort of goal.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
So, Representative Josephson, if that is the end goal, why not just go for that end goal and avoid the cost of setting up the administrative process and all the other attendant costs and inconveniences? And if you want to ban them, just why not just go for a ban?
Through the chair, I love the idea. If the committee was interested in moving that way and giving people some preparation for that, in other words, as I said, I want to inquire about how far out an effective date could be. I don't have any problem with that for sure. We are in a fiscal crisis, and there's something to be said for raising a little bit of revenue, but that isn't ultimately the goal. The goal is to sort of mirror what happened in Washington, D.C. and Chicago and see a reduction because of the fee.
I would observe that if the intent is to do a ban, it's probably more appropriate to debate the ban and avoid those costs and so forth. I noticed on the slide, again, why not an outright ban that Representative Drummond issued that doesn't have a number. It says your rationale is you wanted people to have the choice, and I think I hear you saying that, well, you don't want them to have the choice. Your goal is to ban plastic bags. So I would take some slight exception to that and would note that people have a choice now whether to use a recyclable bag or to use the issued 2.25 millimeter plastic bags.
Representative Sadler?
Yes, sir.
Please do not ascribe motives to other members.
Oh, I don't believe I did. If you'd repeat what I said then that was ascribing motives, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, I took no offense.
Very well. If there's no offense taken, there's no harm done. Representative Sadler, you may
thank
continue.
Thank you. What was my question? Yeah, is there, kind of following up on the question I heard from that side of the room, is there a score for the environmental cost or benefit for this kind of plastic bag versus a thicker plastic bag versus a paper bag versus a cloth bag? I think you're hearing from the committee some desire to apply some objective standards to this and to justify the cost of taxation or a ban. So where do these bags fall on the environmental scale of damage versus paper or cloth?
Representative Josephson.
Mr. Chair, because that question is so tough, and it is tough, I'm going to defer to my staff.
Good staff is worth their weight.
Ms. Delaney.
Through the chair, I will need to look at numbers for you. I don't have that information off the top of my head.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Representative Josephson, you made mention to the folks who are working this effort nationwide. Is this something that you came up with yourself, or is other individuals or organizations encouraging you to do this? For example, the Alaska Center for the Environment encouraging you to introduce this kind of legislation?
Through the chair, I spoke, I think, in a sort of nonchalant kind of way. I couldn't. Frequently, I know the name. I could answer the name of an organization and say that organization's working on this. So, for example, on the microbeads bill, I know that there's a group called Five Geyers that was very invested in this. I couldn't tell you the name of an organization. All I meant was that it's pretty apparent that it's a topic in the lower 48 based on our PowerPoint and the research that is easily available online about sort of efforts to improve our world by reducing use of plastics, various plastics.
And following up?
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And through the chair, there is reference in an email from Carol Montgomery to Lisa Delaney, references the Zero Waste Coalition Plastic Bag Committee. Representative Josephson, do you know who the Zero Waste Coalition Plastic Bag Committee is?
Through the chair, I've talked to Carol Montgomery once about this at some length with Ms. Delaney, and she is instrumental in the MATSU effort. She knows a great deal about it, and I think that she's on the phone, and I think that's, if it's not her sort of group, then she's associated with it in some way. I would note that Mayor Cottle of Wasilla has contacted us and said very adamantly, what you want is a ban. And he said it, I think, repeatedly to us. And I would ask you to take note of the fact that when a city like Wasilla decides to ban plastic bags, it doesn't do it idly. This must have been a serious, serious effort. And I also think, and maybe Ms. Delaney recalls, I don't think it was a close vote on the city council. I think it might have been like a 6-1 kind of vote, but I could check that.
So my question stands. But who is the Zero Waste Coalition Plastic Bag Committee?
I think, through the chair, I think the person asked would be Ms. Montgomery, okay, who's on the phone.
Who is on the line? And I'll remind members that we have, looks like, 7 people online waiting to testify. If members would be amenable to holding further questions for the bill's sponsor, Representative Tallarico, you haven't had a bite at the apple yet, so I'd like to give you your opportunity. And then if the members of the committee are amenable, I'd like to move to public testimony and return to questions for the bill's sponsor at a subsequent meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that.
And I
was just kind of curious. You know, the information we've given seems to be pretty complete, and it appears certainly that we only have one state with a statewide ban, and almost everything else has been done at the municipal level. I wonder if there was any consideration. We really do serve as the borough assembly, so to speak, for the unorganized borough, and then everyone else is in an organized area. Was there any consideration to maybe possibly doing this potentially as kind of a borough assembly for the unorganized area, just to see if it might inspire those other organized municipal structures? Or it's just kind of a random toss out there, because it appears to me anyways, in most states it's really done at the municipal level. I just wanted to
sure that through the chair. I mean, it's an interesting idea. The fast answer is no. I'm actually trying to think whether I've seen that done. We always talk about, as you're absolutely correct, we are the assembly for the unorganized borough, but I don't see us doing a lot policy-wise about that fact. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should. And that came up in a joint meeting before the AML director recently, mm-hmm, that topic. But no, the answer is no.
And just one other, and I'll just share a brief story just to see if this is a potential idea. I used to be the administrator for one of those municipalities out there, and one way to reduce the plastic bags, or at least we thought this was kind of clever, and it actually worked for us. We don't have hard numbers, but we actually produced reusable bags that would be handed to registered voters on election day if they came in and voted. And it had a serious reduction in our plastic bags in our landfill.
I'll exercise the prerogative of the chair to say, what a great idea. Well done.
It actually worked really well. So I don't know if there are some organizations out there that are listening to us, but they certainly, if anyone did a reusable bag drive, ours was done through the local municipality, and it worked really well.
Thank you. That's a good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll let others get to their questions in our public testimony. Thank you.
Certainly. We still have questions from Representative Sadler. Did you have any further questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to ask a question.
Actually, Representative Sadler, I asked that in order to ask, would you, Representative Rauscher and Representative Christ Tompkins, be willing to hold over your questions to our next meeting in order to get to public testimony?
Mr. Chair, I do understand we're going to be having more public testimony next meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. I'd just like to help the seven people who have been online.
We're all here on Saturday, Mr. Chair, but can we be sure that the sponsor will be available to us to answer questions in the future?
Representative Josephson?
I will make myself available.
Good. Thank you.
With that proviso, certainly.
Thank you, Representative Sadler, Rauscher, and Christ Tompkins.
I speak for myself. I'm going to ask him.
Can't wait.
Can wait, Representative Christ Tompkins.
I actually can wait. I can't wait to talk with the sponsor more.
Certainly. With that, I would like to thank the bill's sponsor and his staff. We'll please do make yourselves available for the next hearing on this, which I anticipate for Tuesday. Now we will move to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Do we have anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we'll move online. The first testifier is Ms. Tinker from Hooper Bay. Ms. Tinker, would you please introduce yourself for the record, state your name and affiliation, and you may begin your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Bianca Tinker. I am the environmental coordinator for the Native Village of Hooper Bay IGAP office. When they banned the plastic store bags in Hooper Bay when I was a little girl, so I never paid attention to it until now, but before they banned the plastic bags, there used to be a lot of bags just blowing around the condo, and we have a landfill here that's covered around with a cage, and it was really bad. It was full of store plastic bags.
Ms. Tinker, yeah. I apologize. If you're on speakerphone, would you please switch to the more conventional means, and otherwise, just if you'd please speak up a little bit. We're having a little bit of trouble with the audio. I apologize for the interruption. Would you please resume your testimony?
Can you hear me better?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Tinker.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that I didn't realize this until now, but we have a landfill here that is covered around with a cage. And as a little girl, there used to be the whole cage around used to be full of store plastic bags, and you could see them all over the tundra in the back town of Hooper Bay where we do our subsistence hunting. And even today when I go out you know, doing my subsistence gathering greens and berries. I still find door bags from years and years ago. You know, you can recognize them. And it was kind of a tough transition because we had, you know, people were frustrated. They didn't know what they were going to carry their groceries in. But through time, we kind of got used to having to bring our own carrying bags, and now we are all pretty much shaped into, we have that mindset of, oh, the store, they don't have the trash bag or the plastic bag. We need to bring our own. So we are becoming more environmentally aware of how this has had a positive impact within our community. So we support this bill. We are in it 100%. We believe that it will be a really good factor to the environment. That's it for me today.
Thank you, Ms. Tinker. Are there any questions? Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, Ms. Tinker, this is Representative Rauscher. I appreciate you calling in and with your pride in your community, and I've been out there. I've worked on a few homes. We're out there with Samaritan's Purse. We volunteered time to build 5 or 6 homes out there and rebuild a church for you, and I really appreciated the look of your community, and I thank you for the pride that you take in it yourself. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Was that the team center now that they have? Is that where...
It's a question for Representative Rauscher. Rep Rauscher.
One more time.
Oh, would you please repeat that a little bit more loudly, Ms. Tinker?
Were you building the new church out here? Or the...
Yes, we built that new church and the youth center out there. And then
five or six
of those homes that we built to replace the ones after the fire, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember clearly. Thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Tinker, you mentioned you're the environmental coordinator for the Native Village of Hooper Bay. Help this guy who lives in Eagle River understand what the Native Village of Hooper Bay is.
The Native Village of Hooper Bay is a tribal government. I will have my partner here tonight get more into that. I just started working here, so...
Yes, this is Bernard Moran, Bianca's assistant. Native Village of Hoover Bay is a tribal government, and in the past, we worked with City of Hoover Bay when we pursued the ordinance of banning the plastic bag, and we have a memorandum of agreement with them to do such things like that. And in the past... people were complaining about plastic bags all over the tundra and the beaches, and one time this subsistence hunter caught a seal out there in the Bering Sea on top of the ice floes and was butchering the seal and opened its stomach to find see if the ate some the animal ate some fresh shrimps. And when he opened the stomach, he found along with it the plastic bag from the local store. So that kind of waking us up on why we should ban the plastic bag. And we did, we actually got together and passed an ordinance against use of store-use plastic bags. And when that happened, people buy some canvas bags, and the store uses the leftover, not used cardboard to bring groceries home with.
Thank you, Mr. Moran. Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, and I appreciate the chance to ask you this question. So there's not gonna, I would not anticipate a huge additional cost to go to canvas bags or cloth bags, but for the record, is that an additional cost that you and Hooper Bay would be willing to pay in order for the to eliminate the blight of the plastic bags?
Yes, we can with the awareness of the environment outweigh the, you know, small cost of it.
That's a yes. Thank you.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time hearing you. We have the sponsor of the bill has listed Hooper Bay as one of the communities in Alaska that has already banned plastic bags. When was the ban made? And so how long has the ban been in existence? And how have the residents of Hooper Bay adjusted to the ban?
Yeah, it was banned in October of 2009. We made an ordinance on that, and the people wasn't too riled up about it. They know over 90% of us are Yupik Eskimos in a community of over 1,000. Most of them do subsistence hunting and all the traditional stuff like that. So they want to impact it so much as such U.S.
Thank you, Mr. Moran. Are there any further questions from the members of the committee for either Mr. Moran or Ms. Tinker? Seeing none, thank you both for your testimony. We'll now go to Anchorage with Nicholas Walsh. Mr. Walsh, are you there?
Yes, sir.
If you'd please,
hello?
If you'd please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, sir. Hang on a second. I think you prefer it off speaker. Yeah, my name is Nicholas Walsh. I'm from Chugiak, Alaska. I've been a fishing and hunting guide in Alaska since the early 80s.
You may begin.
Just my experience in the bush over anywhere from, 3 to 4 or 5 months at a time, from the Gulf of Alaska, Kodiak I started in. I'm down in southeast now off of Prince of Wales. The impact I've seen, I've taped out, bears. I've seen them digest bags. I've seen it all over the tundra. I've seen birds that have been caught on it out in the middle of nowhere from the Woodtichick State Park in some of the most rural areas. In the water, in salt water, again, from Prince of Wales, Kodiak, down on the Kenai, I've seen jellyfish going through it. I've seen literally eagles trying to fly with plastic bags wrapped around their tongs. I mean, the impact that you can see in the bush if you spend any time on the water is quite devastating.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh. Are there any questions from the members of the committee? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh. Dan Sadler here. So curious, your clients, do they, in Alaska we are somewhat sensitized to our natural beauty, any violations of that. Do the folks that you guide and provide services to, do they comment to you about the site of these bags?
Mr. Yes, Welsh? I have had those comments, again, seeing it in the water, fish trying to swim by it, birds. I've at least seen blooms of jellyfish just entangled in it. And people are like, astounded that they didn't think that would be an issue up here. If you walk any of the beaches throughout the state, you'll see the impact of the tsunami. We're all aware of that. Right. But long before that, there were plastic bags literally everywhere. I think if it was banned today, there'd be generations that would be dealing with this issue, in the future as far as our quality of our water and in our food. Right. I don't believe there's such thing as a real biodegradable bag. I don't know the science behind that, but again, in a colder climate, I find it impossible that it would ever take place. But even in a warmer climate, there are traces literally everywhere of these plastic bags. And I've spent time in Hawaii, and I really don't think there's been that much of an impact for the people. No one there has ever told me, the locals I spoke to, that it was that much of an inconvenience. I know I've done it myself. When you're moving things, you know, in the bush, you know, I've done it from plane, small plane, to four-wheelers, to boats, being inconvenienced or by not using plastic bags has really not been that much of an issue. I think we have to think of the next generations in the future. The impact of these things are devastating. As you were saying earlier, that you could look out your window and someone come and see now, you know, in the trees. I mean, that's just an impact that everybody's seen. But until you see the animals, until you realize, is this stuff really getting in our food chain? To me, this is a no-brainer. And the inconvenience of, you know, a 10 cent, 20 cents, I mean, I think earlier someone commented that it was like $25 we're all paying for, you know, plastic bags that we get free. Nothing is free. We're paying in the, you know, somewhere down the line we're paying for the plastic bags. I just don't want to see the next generations paying for the mistakes that we made by using these things.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh. Representative Sadler.
And to put a fine point on it, do any of your clients say that they would be less likely to come to Alaska or engage in your...
No, I don't think anybody's ever told me that, no.
Fair enough. Okay, thanks.
Any further questions from the committee for Mr. Welsh? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Welsh, for your testimony. We'll next go to Ms. Fisher in the Mat-Su. Ms. Fisher?
Hello, yes, I am here. Yeah, my name is Patricia Fisher, and I am with the Mid Valley Recycling in Big Lake, Meadow Lakes, in the Mat-Su Valley, and I, therefore, am a member of the Mat-Su Zero Waste Coalition. Just to say a little bit about that group, the people, there's about five recycling sites in Mat-Su, and the people that manage those sites, all volunteers. We go out and stand out in the cold helping people to recycle. Those are the people that came together and are currently coming together as the Zero Waste Coalition. And as a project, we adopted the idea of a plastic bag ban. So I hope that clarifies a little bit on the Zero Waste Coalition. I will certainly answer any questions you might have on it. Today on HB 264, I wanted to make two points. Our environment is suffering from plastic bags. You need to only look around the Mat-Su Valley and you see that. It is, of course, not just Mat-Su, but everywhere in Alaska. That is why locations like Kodiak, Cordova, Wasilla are passing bans. The bags are everywhere they should not be, and the overriding problem is they get into our waterways and ultimately the oceans. It has been heavily in the news lately that reports from scientists state that there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish in the not-too-distant future. It is time to make the effort to change that trend. Plastic is in the food we eat and is detrimental to our health. Worst of all, it will affect our children severely in the future. My second point is that the time is right to enact this fee on disposable or a ban, if you were to go that direction, on plastic bags. The Mat-Su Valley is a conservative place, and yet wherever we went as the plastic bag campaign, the attitude of the majority of the people was approval of a ban and recognition of the need for a ban. People would come up to us and thank us and say, yeah, this is great. I mean, you know when people don't want to hear you, and that's very off-putting, and we just never faced that. This approval is evidenced by the vote of the Wasilla City Council, 5-1 in favor of the ban. The attitude of the public is that plastic bags are a huge problem, and the problem needs to be addressed. Please do not get into a corner of thinking that the citizens of Alaska do not want this. We are concerned about our environment, and I urge you to vote to move this legislation forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fisher. Are there questions from members of the committee? Representative Rauscher, then Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Chairman Parrish. Through the chair, Ms. Fisher, there was a question earlier about the Mat-Su Borough and whether or not it was a previously discussed at the assembly level to ban plastic bags or to tax them. I was wondering if you can bring any clarity to that, which way it actually
was. Yes, a little. The Mat-Su Borough is a second-class borough. They have some difficulties in augmenting a ban outright. So there were legal issues as to how this would be done. It was complex, and in the end, the assembly members were not real comfortable with the way the legislation was written. And then in the meantime, and it really was in the meantime, they put it on a certain date delay. In the meantime, Mr. Cottle, the mayor of Wasilla, came in and said, I want to do this. He got people, he had forums, he had people come testify, and Wasilla voted to ban the bags. So after that occurred, the borough came back and removed that legislation that they had pending. So it is no longer on the books, or not, it was not pending, and it is not, will not be reconsidered. There is a movement by some of us to ask the borough to do a ban directly, which has to be voted on by the people, I believe, but that's down the road. I don't know for sure that that's what's going to happen on that.
Thank you, Ms. Fisher. Thank you very much.
I see that in the last 5 minutes, three people have joined wishing to testify. I'm going to close new testimony. Everyone who's online, you'll still be able to testify, but we won't be accepting any new callers. However, you will have a chance to testify this Tuesday, starting about 8 a.m. So with that, we will move to Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Ms. Fisher, through the chair, I've heard of two different organizations. One is the Zero Waste Coalition Plastic Bag Committee, and I've also heard Mid-Valley Recycling. Help me understand the specific numbers of people involved in either of these organizations.
Okay. I mean, in a volunteer organization, people come and go. Mid-Valley Recycling has about 20 people that come out monthly and have a day assigned to them to recycle. We are strictly out here in Meadow Lakes, Big Lake, and Houston. We say are all volunteers. As a member of that group, it was somebody said, all these recyclers need to get together and talk. So we formed the Zero Waste Coalition, which includes the recyclers from the various sites across the valley and anyone else that is concerned about recycling. So now, how many people are in the Zero Waste Coalition? There again, it varies because it's strictly volunteers. We are not a 501c3. We are not an anything except a volunteer organization. And I would say we have 20 or 30 people maybe on our emailing list, and there may be 10 people that come to a meeting at any given time.
And the Plastic Bag Committee is a subset of the Zero Waste Coalition, and so how many members?
Yes, when the Zero Waste Coalition first started up a year and a half ago, it was someone there said this would be a really worthwhile project to undertake, and that is exactly how it got started, the Plastic Bag Committee of the Zero Waste Coalition.
Follow up, Representative Sadler.
And about how many folks are on that Plastic Bag Subcommittee?
The Plastic Bag Subcommittee? Oh, wow. Everyone that's in Zero Waste Coalition is welcome to be on it, so I guess I'd have to go with those same numbers. But how many people are very active in doing the plastic bags? Probably 15, 20.
Okay, so it's basically the same people. The coalition members are all committee members. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely, they're free to be a committee member. And you, I'm sure you are aware, in a volunteer organization, people have time at one point in their lives, and sometimes they don't. And so we worked on this campaign since October of 2016. So it's been going on approaching a year and a half.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the members of the committee for Ms. Fisher? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Fisher, for your testimony and for your work. We'll move next to Ms. Jackson from Palmer. Ms. Jackson, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Would you please place your name and affiliation on the record and give your testimony?
Certainly. My name is Liz Beth Jackson. I'm a lifelong Alaskan.
I've lived in the valley since 1989. I own and operate Hatcher Pass Bed and Breakfast, which I have done for the last 21 years. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. Please proceed.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, members of the House, for your service, and a special thank you to Representative Andy Josephson for sponsoring House Bill 264. I am one of approximately 19,700 people in South Central Alaska making my living from tourism. I own and operate a bed and breakfast near Hatcher Pass and host people from all over the world. They come to Alaska to see wide open spaces, mountains, glaciers, animals, and the beauty of nature. The last thing they want to see is a plastic bag tangled up in a rose bush or clinging to a fence. The beauty of nature and the mess of the plastic bags are not compatible. In South Central Alaska, it is estimated that tourism generates $866 million per year and employs 19,700 people. This is an industry that doesn't ask us to build schools, hospitals, or homes, but it does expect that we will protect the beauty of nature as portrayed in the travel brochures, without any plastic bags. Alaska is loved and looked at in awe across the world for its beauty, immense landscapes, and wild animals. We need to take care of our land and protect the wild and beautiful nature of Alaska. This legislation is a wonderful start to keep the plastic out of the landscape, and I support it to help remove plastic bags in our open spaces. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. I see a question from Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Appreciate your comments. You say this is a start. What would you think would be the next step in making Alaska a more attractive tourist destination?
I do believe that plastics overall are a huge problem. It was mentioned earlier, the styrofoam containers, the cheap coolers that break apart, the plastic bottles that people buy with the water in them, that they seem to just grow, but those can't really be reached. The plastic bag is something that we can start with, and the plastics, especially in areas that are windy, the plastic bags are something that blow around, and so I think that's a good starting point. I would like to see more done to replace the overall use of plastics that are polluting our oceans, our waterways, in our state that is rich with marine life that really doesn't understand, and they eat it. They don't know. So that's why I say that we do need to do more, but I think this is a good start, and it's creating the conversation. People are starting to think, do I need to use that plastic bag? Do I need to do this? Instead of thinking in such a disposable community, and everything is just thrown away, people are now starting to think, oh, you know, that really does fill up our landfill, or it flies around and it hurts the animals and the fish and the environment, and I think that's good.
And final follow-up.
Representative
Ms. Jackson, would you anticipate seeing your Zero Waste Coalition, should we pass this bill, come back next seeking a plastic bottle ban?
I don't know how we do that. I'm not good at starting things, but I know that I have seen other communities, and I think of Hawaii, which is tourism-rich, and I think of other places that want to protect their environment, and they're working on plastic bags. The plastic bottle, I haven't seen that done effectively. If I saw it done effectively, absolutely. I think they're huge waste, and they float around in the water. Terrible. So, but I don't know how to do that.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the members of the committee? Representative Rauscher?
I just wanted to, through the chair, I just wanted to thank Liz for calling in. I appreciate you, and I thank her very much for her testimony. She's in my district.
Mm-hmm. Always nice to
hear. Well, thank you so much, George. I hope to see this legislation take root and be a part of our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson, for your testimony. And for anyone who has testified or is waiting to testify, please feel free to email in your testimony if you have a written copy, either to your representative or to me. It sounds like many are reading, and sometimes the audio can be a little bit rough, so we're always glad to have your statements on record. With that, we'll move to Carol Montgomery. Ms. Montgomery, would you please give your name, affiliation, and proceed with your testimony?
Okay, I am Carol Montgomery, and I'm from Palm, Alaska. I live on Lazy Mountain, and I'm the chair of the MAPSU Zero Waste Coalition Plastic Bag Committee. I applaud Representative Josephson and for sponsoring House Bill 264 and the members of the committee for considering this legislation. I would like to suggest two changes or amendments to this legislation. First would be to ban disposable bags so that House Bill 264 is consistent with the growing number of local plastic bag laws in Alaska. And second, to apply the 20-cent fee to all the remaining carryout bags, including the so-called reusable ones. So I'll try to keep my comments brief, but bag laws get complicated, so please bear with me. First, let me explain why this legislation should ban the disposable bags rather than charge for them. Because as House Bill 264 is now written, consumers will have a choice. They can pay a 20-cent fee for a flimsy disposable bag, or they can accept a thicker so-called reusable bag, which is exempt from the fee. And it should be noted that stores generally offer these to customers at no charge where there are bag bans. Faced with this choice, I think it goes without saying that consumers will choose free reusable bags. Why would anyone pay 20 cents for a flimsy bag when they can get a nicer one for free? So this legislation will, in effect, eliminate disposable bags from the marketplace, so it would act as a de facto ban. And as we know, there's a groundswell of local support to ban plastic bags. By the way, Glen Allen did ban them. They don't have a city government. They did it through petition to the local supermarkets. So amending this legislation to ban disposable bags rather than charging a fee for them makes House Bill 264 consistent with and supportive of existing local laws. I believe this will reduce confusion. The second part is the fee part of this legislation is critical, but it would be more effective if it were applied to the bags that will be used to replace the disposable ones. As it is written, House Bill 264 charges for the disposable bags, but it offers a free pass on the, quote, reusable plastic bags. A common misconception is that reusable bags get reused. But if you look at the definition of reusable bags, it includes plastic bags that are thicker than 2.25 milliliters, which makes them less flimsy so they can hold more weight and they can be used multiple times. But these thicker, slightly thicker bags are the cheapest alternative for retailers that they use to replace the disposable ones. So when Chicago, California, and Hawaii, for example, passed their first bag bans, these so-called reusable bags simply replaced the disposable ones, and they were offered for free to customers every time they went through the checkout line. So there was no incentive for customers to reuse them or reduce their use. So even though the bags were reusable, customers treated them as disposable, and it added even more plastic to the waste stream. So Chicago, Honolulu, and California all had to go back and modify the original legislation to add a fee for the so-called reusable bags. And this doesn't have to be a tax. It can be a small fee that the stores keep. It just means that the stores have to charge a consistent fee to consumers. Major retailers want a bag fee to accompany any ban on plastic. I've spoken with corporate representatives from Walmart, Fred Meyer Kroger, Car Safeway, and others. And while their official position is to support whatever bag legislation the community wants, they ask that any plastic bag ban include a mandated, what they call a pass-through fee, for the bags that will be used to replace those disposable bags. Number one, because it's going to, these bags are expensive and it's going to raise their cost, and they're reluctant to be the first store that chooses to charge for the reusable bags because it's going to put them at a competitive disadvantage. So they won't initiate a charge themselves. Second, they have also found that consumers treat these bags the same as the disposable ones, defeating the purpose of a ban. So by amending 264 to ban disposable bags and apply the 20-cent fee to all other carryout bags, this legislation will not only support the growing number of Alaska communities that have banned plastic bags, but it will close that loophole that allows retailers to undermine the purpose of the ban by giving out heavier plastic bags for free. Thank you. It's confusing. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions from the members of the committee for Ms. Montgomery? Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Montgomery, for your testimony. I would appreciate getting a copy of your testimony, and I believe the chair can provide the email if you don't already have it. Thank you, ma'am.
I can get it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ms. Montgomery. Are there any further questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, we'll go to Molly Boyer. Ms. Boyer, would you please introduce yourself and place your name and affiliation on the record?
Hi, good morning. Actually, good afternoon. I am Molly Boyer, and I am the Executive Director of the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. We provide the recycling program for the MATSU, and as part of our program, we also provide education on recycling. I am calling in today in support of the effort of this legislation to reduce the negative impacts of plastic bags in our beautiful home, Alaska. 4 years ago, third graders attending a field trip at our recycling center were the ones that began our education on the impacts of plastic bags in our neighborhood surrounded by land in South Central Alaska. After they learned about what plastics they could recycle at our center and what plastic is made from, one of them raised their hand and shared that earlier that day, as part of their field trip, they had gone to the UAF experiment farm. During the presentation by the fish and game researcher at the farm, they were shown plastic bags that were pulled from a caribou stomach that morning. This was the first we had heard about plastic bags in the stomachs of local animals. So I called the researcher. He shared that this is normal and that he goes out every morning to pick up any plastic that is blown into the corralled area. They have confirmed that two caribou have died from blockage. He has pulled plastic bags out of moose stomachs too, but has not had a moose die from the blockage that they know of. The type of ruminant that the caribou is that makes them more vulnerable to the plastic bags in their stomach. The plastic bags do not decompose. They can only photodegrade, breaking down into smaller and smaller pieces of plastic when exposed to the sun. In the darkness of a stomach, the bags cannot even break down. The third graders led us to understand that plastic is not just a problem in our oceans, but on the land and in our neighborhoods. We have shared this story, and we have been contacted and continue to hear more news about animals dying from blockage from plastic here in Alaska. Agit Inn, a local bed and breakfast that have reindeer, let us know that they had at least two of their reindeer die from blockage. The veterinarian that did the necropsies on their reindeer shared that this is not unusual, and that regularly the necropsies he does on young animals, including pets, he finds that they have died from blockage from plastic. We have also heard about local dogs and a horse that have died from blockage from plastic bags. We heard from a nurse in Anchorage that while working in the emergency room, she has treated young children, toddlers, with blockage from chewing on and sucking in plastic. And the stories of negative impacts on local animals continue to come forward. Unfortunately, deaths from plastic can only be confirmed if a necropsy is done, and necropsies are expensive. From the impacts on state economics via the fishing industry and tourism, to livestock and subsistence, to the health of our pets and our children, the negative impacts from plastic bags are real. They are not just unsightly, they are deadly, out loose in our environment. This is an important issue for the state of Alaska to address for the long-term good of all Alaskans. Thank you for working on this legislation, and thank you to the children for raising our awareness. Let's show them that we can do better. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyer. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, we'll go to Mary Nowak. Mary, Ms. Nowak, would you please introduce yourself and put your
affiliation? Yes, my name is Mary Nowak. I'm calling from Tasso. And I would like to say that it's not just their shopping bags that should be recycled, but there are all kinds of environmental contaminants, paper, plastic, cigarette butts, feces, urine, whatever. And I can never understand why contaminants of any sort should be separated, because I think they should all be together so that money can be saved, time can be saved, stress can be saved, frustration can be saved. And I would like to say that it always seems that whenever there's contamination of any sort, the indigenous people are always blamed, when in reality we are the truest conservationists. We reuse things, and when we go out in the waterways, in the land, wherever, we take along containers to collect the stuff. And you know what? Always, always, we end up more with trash, with contaminants, than what we go out for. And I think everyone should be doing that. And, you know, like, environmentalists, they're supposedly intelligent. So why don't they put their intelligence into use? Educate, educate, educate. Prevent, prevent, prevent. Contamination, this does not happen to the, environmental, life like fish and whatever. Contamination from those kinds of things goes into the air, goes into the land, goes everywhere. It doesn't stay in one place. It actually goes all over. And I often wonder, when are these intelligent scientists going to see these effects? Or if they ever will. So, like, contamination from plastic bags is not one happening. It's just adding and adding and adding more to the path environmental contamination. And to make it worse, these contaminants in the air, in the land, in the waterways, everywhere, are going to increase a whole lot because of the global warming. And everyone's been ignoring the effects of global warming. This is like in the state, in the federal. And I mean, honestly, I often cannot see why people can see these connections. And nothing is constant. Everything is always changing. Even the changes have oftentimes negative effects. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any questions from the members of the committee? Seeing none, I will take this opportunity to give the email address for the committee. It is house.community.and.regional.affairs@akleg.gov. You're also free to email me, and I'll see that the emails are distributed. My email address is rep.justin.parrish@akleg.gov. And always, 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 you are free to email your representative. And really anyone in the legislature, it's your prerogative. I see that Mr. McDonald is no longer available. I hope that he heard that we'll also be having public testimony on Tuesday. And finally, we have Carol Hoover. Ms. Hoover, are you there?
I am, thank you.
If you'd please put your name and affiliation on the record and give your testimony.
Thank you. I'm with the EAC Preservation Council in Cordova, Alaska, and I'd like to start with a success story. Cordova is a small community. It's off the road system, yet it is one of the largest food processing and harbors for salmon in North America, and the population swells throughout the entire salmon season every year. And the way that the plastic bag use used to happen in Cordova, there's a ban now, and the EAC Preservation Council had a lot to do with making that known that, you know, we wanted to have it passed, and it did pass. The initiative passed. We do have a plastic and styrofoam ban now in Cordova, Alaska. But the fishermen would, you know, come into the stores and buy all their food, you know, for, you know, get weeks of food on end, and it would all get put in multiple double bags and triple bags and everything like that. Well, a few years ago, the landfill in Cordova caught on fire. And it stayed on fire very quietly. It wasn't publicized very much because it was an embarrassment. But the landfill stayed on fire for, oh, my gosh, months and months. And a lot of the reason why was there were tired, you know, bad things in the landfill, but it was the plastic bags kept it going. The plastic bags in our harbor are floating around all over the place. So what EPC decided to do, along with some high school students, we started piping up about we need a plastic bag ban. And we actually got a grant, and we printed up 1,000 canvas bags with the message, reuse, recycle, reduce on the bags. And we gave them away to residents in Cordova, and we gave them to fishermen, and we did some press about it's a habit. You can break using the plastic bag habit. And the initiative passed. And even for styrofoam boxes, it passed. Now, I thought that testimony about all the requirements in the law were very interesting because I'm not too sure how our law will meld with 264, our initiative in Cordova. But people are used to it. And now we save boxes. The stores save boxes. The fishermen put all their food in boxes. They bring their own bags. They bring their own back boxes. It's now a way of life in Cordova. And the landfill, it was interesting. One of our biggest allies were the people that worked in the refuse department in Cordova. And there was a lot of grumbling at first about it, but it's now a way of life. People carry their bags. They remember to do it, their own bags, their cloth bags. I thought that testimony just before me was very wise. We really do need to realize that there is something in most plastic bags and even plastic bottles called BPA. You really never should drink water from a plastic bottle that's been sitting in the sun too long. It actually has a form of estrogen in it. It's not good for us. It's a kind of carcinogen as well. Plastic is never biodegrades. Everything that's been said today, I haven't heard anything that I would disagree with, and I'm actually very thankful for everyone that's taken the time to testify. And it would be great if Alaska led the way and became a state that banned plastic bags all over the state for all the reasons that have been stated. So that is primarily my testimony. I don't want to repeat what everybody else has said, but it's extremely possible
And then one other thing I want to, one of the first countries that banned single-use plastic bags, believe it or not, was China. So thank you for this. Thank you for this bill being submitted. And I appreciate the time and your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Hoover. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Thank you, Ms. Hoover, for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify today? Seeing no one and seeing no one else available online, I will be Representative Rauscher.
Before you close, Mr. Chairman, I Jim Sykes is an assembly member in the Matsu Borough, and I texted him about whether or not it was actually a tax or whether it was a ban that they actually wanted to try and accomplish at the Borough. And he did text me back. He said, we voted down the tax idea after the Wasilla vote to ban them. About 80% source for the bags is Wasilla for the area. So anyway, the Borough may or may not decide to take up an idea of the ban, but it was a tax that they voted down. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher, and of course to all the members of the committee and anyone else who may be listening. If there are other people in who you know who would be interested in this issue, please tell them that they'll have an opportunity to testify on Tuesday. I will be holding public testimony open, and that was the final meeting on the agenda. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, February 13th at 8 a.m. This meeting is adjourned at 12:17 p.m.